Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
We're so glad to be with you once again, and we thank the Lord Jesus is alive and well. He says, the Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we can rely on him, we can trust in him, we can believe in him. You know, when we start, we want to remind you, the Bible says that the god of this world, the devil, has blinded the minds of them that believe not, so that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into them, into their hearts. And Satan has blinded the hearts of people. And you know, people today, many people do not understand the basic gospel, even the basics of Christianity. And there's a few cases that I want to discuss that Jesus talks about dealing with the basics of salvation. Now, some people believe because they got a feeling maybe they're saved, or because they even maybe shook the preacher's hand, or they were baptized, or they're putting their faith and trust in a lot of things, or maybe they feel like, oh, maybe God is with them, or they live such a good life. But Jesus talks about salvation in so many ways to try to explain it. And one day there was a young man, and I'm going to take a few of the incidences Jesus talked to start with, and we'll get back to our subject on the Bible. But we have to get our faith and belief from the Bible. We have what is called Christianity today, and you have almost every kind of opinion imaginable until so many people are confused. But if you would simply get your Bible out and read it, and I just suggest you could start in the Gospel of John, but read the chapter a couple times. And you can read it two times in chapter 1 of John, then chapter 2 of the Gospel of John, and read it through a couple times. You can do that, maybe 8 or 10 minutes, and so that it gets into your mind. And then go through the New Testament and read that, reading each chapter, starting in Matthew, and then go all the way through the New Testament. And then go back to Genesis and read through the whole Bible that way. And you understand what it's all about. And people say, well, there's so many ideas and so many thoughts and so many interpretations, I don't know what to believe. And they really are confused, but there's no necessity of it, because I think that the King James Bible is very clear on what it says. And there may be some verses that people can argue about, but most of the confusion is people taking a verse totally out of the context of what it is written, and being a private interpreter and then teaching that. But if you read it systematically, the Bible is very clear. And one of the things people get is confused on such some of the most basic things of salvation and Christianity. And I just want to start the program that way today and talk about that before we get into talking about the Bible and the text of the Bible. Now, there was a young man that came to Jesus one day, and he said, I've kept all the commandments from my youth up. What do I lack now? Now, he really thought that he kept them all. Now, for Israel, and as a Jewish young man, the top two commandments were, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. So Jesus asked him what it was, and he said, well, I've kept them all. So Jesus says, okay, he said, go and sell that you have and give it to the poor, and come and follow me. Well, he didn't love his neighbors himself, because he was very wealthy and he didn't want to distribute all his money to his neighbor. And then he didn't love God, because Jesus is God, and he didn't want to give up the money that he had for and follow Jesus. And so he didn't keep the first and second commandment. And there's so many people that say, well, you talk to them, you ask them if they're saved, they start telling you how good they are. You know, God doesn't, the Bible says that you measuring yourself with yourself and with other people, even with the preacher or Sunday school teacher, you are not wise. But God doesn't measure you against a Sunday school teacher, preacher, or some other person in the church. He measures you against Jesus Christ, and Jesus was absolutely perfect. And the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you don't really think that you're a sinner, you don't know God. And you're probably really not saved, because God says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so in the Sermon on the Mount, the key idea in the Sermon on the Mount is that we've all missed it. And God not only judges the actions, but he judges the intent and the heart. And he shows that every human being that ever lived has missed it by a mile. Therefore, we need a Savior. And if somebody were to ask you when you die, when you get to heaven's door, suppose St. Peter came to the door and he said, why should I let you in? What's the password? And you said, well, I've lived a good life. I've been baptized. I've gone to church. I've tithed. And he said, well, he looks in the book. Your name's not here in the book. Jesus gave another illustration of this. He said the Pharisee, who is known for being very pious and very religious, went to the temple to pray. And he prayed and he says, I thank God that I'm not like this publican who is a crook. And he says, I fast and I pay my tithes. And he's telling God how good he was. And the Bible says God never heard him. You tell God how good you are, God won't hear you, see? But the publican, he said, he didn't even look up, but it says he beat on his breast and he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible says he went back to his house justified. That is, God declared him righteous. And that's the only way we can come to God, realizing that we have missed the mark, that we are sinners. We take the viewpoint of God and realize that we have sinned, and we say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, for Jesus' sake. You see, in the Bible says Christ died for our sins, and people can say that. I've talked to many people, and I say, why did Jesus die? And they say, well, he died for our sins, and he died to open heaven's door. Well, both of those are true, but they don't really understand it. When he died for our sins, he was punished for all our sins. And the Bible says that Jesus, when he died, he said, it is finished. Salvation is complete. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, separation from God because of our sin. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a life God gives us, a life with him, but it comes through Jesus Christ. And if someone were to ask you, do you know for sure when you die that you're going to heaven? And you'd say, yes, I think so. And you say, well, I've lived a pretty good life, and I haven't sinned, and I've done. Well, we know you weren't saved because God says we're all sinners. But if you said, yes, I know I'm going to heaven because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, and he has paid for my sin on the cross, and he lived a perfect life, and because I put my trust and faith in him, I have eternal life. God promised me. Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. So have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, repenting of your sins, turning from sin, and accepting Christ as Lord and Savior? If you have, then you could say, yes, I've saved. You know, if you said to somebody, are you married? And a husband and wife were standing there, and the husband would say, well, I hope so. I'm trying to be. Well, you wouldn't talk like that. That's ridiculous. If you did that, man did that, well, his wife might slap him in the face right there. No, if you're married, you're married. You got together at a ceremony and you said, I do to one another, and your name is written down in the the pastor pronounced you man and wife. Well, Jesus has said, I do to everyone. And when a person's willing to turn from their sin and accept Christ as Lord and Savior and say, I do to him, they have eternal life. And it's an open and shut case. And it's written down in God's book that he has in heaven. And when the books are open, our name is going to be in the book. Thank God for that. And so it's written down, and we know this because where do we get our teaching? Well, people, the reason there's so many different religious beliefs, they're getting their teaching from all kinds of things. We're not getting our teaching from the church fathers. We're getting our teach from the church grandfathers, the ones that gave us the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These were the ones that got it directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was given to them, the very words were given to them, and then God gave them the translations and the gift of tongues, and those translations came down to us, and the King James translators used those translations and translated it into English. And so we have the Word of God. Now, we talked about last week some of the things that God hates. And, you know, I think maybe if you want to look that up again, Pastor Davis, and we have Brother Davis is a great blessing to me and a help, and he has a program also, and he's pastor of Richfield Bible Baptist Church, but he's going to be reading some of these passages, and I think we should go over this again, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19, although we did this last week, but we'll give some new scripture verses dealing with this subject. Now, when it comes to Bible translations, it would be weird if God would tell us about everything else. The Bible is very clear, even the counterfeit Bibles, where the true Bible is, where the Word of God is. And all the scripture verses in the Bible, any Bible, point to the King James very, very clearly as the Word of God. And I'm going to start off with Proverbs 6, 16 through 19.
All right, thank you, Bruce. And again, just a reminder that if you want to listen to past programs, you can go to Bruce's website, whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And you can also see some of the materials that Bruce references from time to time, all at whereisgodsword.com. And we are looking in Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 16. The Bible says, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren."
I just want to mention a lying tongue. When you promote these versions that disagree with one another, these counterfeit Bibles, you have a lying tongue. God says he hates you for that. And then he that soweth discord among the brethren, when you come out with version after version and each version disagrees, you know, there's a book that we have it on our website now. Every Christian should have it. If you're a King James believer particularly and you're a pastor, this book should be circulated. It's called Which Bible Would Jesus Use? Because it's a powerful book. And it talks about what the chaos cult of these promoting these satanic counterfeit Bibles, what they're doing, who did it, how they're doing it, what's wrong with them. And I mean, it's so crystal clear. It's very, very interesting. So that book should be, every Christian should have that book. Which Bible would Jesus use? And the writer of that is Jack Elroy. McElroy?
McElroy, yes.
Yeah, Jack McElroy. And we have it on our website. I don't know. Do we have that other book? It's Which Version Is God's Word by Floyd Nolan Jones. Is that on there?
Yes. And in fact, again, if people go to whereisgodsword.com, and that's all they need to do, just go to whereisgodsword.com. And as you come down on the left side of the page, I believe the link to Which Bible Would Jesus Use by McElroy is the first one on there. And then about the fourth one down, I think it is Which Version Is the Bible that is there. And there's a link on that one. And that link actually for Floyd Nolan Jones's book, they can read that one online. That one's completely online. You can buy it. It's available online as well. But, you know, a lot of people like to save some money wherever they can. You can read the entirety of Which Version Is the Bible by Floyd Nolan Jones online. And the link is right there at whereisgodsword.com.
Yeah, and Jack McElroy, if you call him, I think we have his phone number there, you can get his newsletter also.
Yes.
And another thing, another book that has just come out, Gail Ripland, she wrote New Age Bible Versions, and she's just updated that with She's given dictionary, definitions based on the Bible itself of many words. Now, we said like Strong's Concordance and many of these, the definitions are definitely off base. And a lot of these, he was connected with modernists and he's unreliable. But she has actually given, she shows biblical definitions right from the Bible itself. And it's an update of New Age Bible versions. So there's a lot of new important information in that. And then she has got another book out that's really good, a book to Hazardous Materials. And if you want to find out, go into it in more depth. And these books have about 400 pages and where all this corruption comes from. And see, since we've been on there, you know, people that have investigated this subject, they probably, a number of them have heard this program and then checked it out for themselves. And a number of them are really, I don't like to use the word scholarly, but they have done the research and put out a lot of really tremendous books that are coming out that have answered everything on the other side. Now, the book by Floyd Nolan Jones, it shows the documented evidence for the readings in the King James against the modern versions. And therefore, it's an extremely important book. And you want to know where this stuff comes from. And you also should get New Age Bible Versions updated, the latest one. And you could get that. We have the information there that you could get from our website. But it would really, these are really important things to get also as background information to this subject. And the documented evidence is so powerful that there's no way around it. Now, why do people do what they're doing? The Bible, their heart is deceived. That's it, because when they were being told the lies that promoted this modern stuff, they were it appealed to them on the basis of pride. Oh, how intelligent we are because we believe this stuff. But most of these people, including myself, we spent 30 years reading everything on it. And I've noticed that the people on the other side somehow, they will not read anything that's different from what they have been taught. And I just don't understand it. Do you understand that?
Well, I think it comes to you know, the sin issue, the pride of men's hearts, I think, a lot of times, because you talked about the word scholarly there a minute ago, and you said you don't like to use it. It's not that you're against learning. You've been to Bible college yourself. It's this scholarly attitude that gets the idea that the scholars know better than the pastors do. The scholars know better than born-again Christians with the Holy Spirit of God in them do. And you could only know what the scholars tell you. And so there's an element of pride that comes in.
Yeah, and these so-called scholars, they're unsaved people. They're using their own reason and rationalism instead of our belief in the King James is based purely on the Word of God. The God tells us. You think God would tell us about heaven and about hell and about how to raise a family and how to be saved, and he wouldn't tell us where the true text is? Well, he has many, many verses telling us that. For instance, that Hebrews 4:12, do you want to read that verse? And there's an example right there of where it tells us where the Word of God is.
Okay, give me just a moment there. I was thinking we were talking about not the scholars and all that too. You know, you have the thing of the Bible says knowledge puffeth up. And you can see that tying in with that whole idea of pride. All right, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart."
Now, that verse right there could tell you where the true word of God is, because it says the word of God is quick, that's living, and powerful. Every single revival since 1611 has always come through the King James. I mean, you could start off with Whitfield when he came over to America. He came over with the King James Bible, and they were using another one before that, but it was basically the same line as the King James, but it wasn't the King James, it was the I just skipped my mind
Geneva.
Right now. Yeah, the Geneva Bible. And he came over with the King James, and he had an incredible revival. Just started out in Georgia and preached his way north. And everywhere he went, the crowds came out by the thousands and turned the colonies, America, upside down. And then because of this, he said the Bible is the only authority, although he was an Episcopalian, said the Bible is the only authority. And so so many of his converts became Baptists at that time, and they went out and they had revivals all over. You had the Finney revival, and Finney, everywhere he went, there was revival. And Finney said, I never felt qualified to correct the King James. And yet, everywhere he went, there is. And then there was the pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle. You remember him, the famous, he was a famous preacher at that time. A lot of people use his messages. But anyway, he is greatly used of God in Brooklyn Tabernacle back there, and he says it was a perfect translation. And then there was Spurgeon, who he dabbled with the same problem we have today. But then the last thing he said, he defended the King James and criticized its correctors. And then there was Moody. And so on. So it's all the way through. All of these people were people that God used. And then we had the latest one, the fellow that was on the radio right here. He died recently, Chuck Smith, out there with that hippie revival out there in California. I heard him. He always used the King James, and I never heard him correct it. God always, every revival comes through the King James. And you're not going to, you can pray till hell freezes over, and you're not going to have a revival if you don't use it, because God's not going to use versions that call him a liar, and that's what the modern ones do, and throw him out in 100 places. So we got Hebrews 4:12. Let's see. Could you read John chapter 12, verse 28? And boy, our time passes fast in here.
Yeah, let's give me just a moment here to get back over to that page. And you said John chapter 12. And
so.
Verse number 48, the Bible says, Jesus is speaking, and he says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day.
Yeah, so you if you reject his words, you reject him. And you say, well, it's just a translation. First of all, these people on the other side, they're lying when they just say the Greek text. Well, I mean, they got all kinds of corrupt Greek text. But the received text has come down from the apostles, and God not only gave the words to the apostles, but he gave the translations of it. And the King James is based on those translations. We mentioned them, the Syriac Peshitta, the Koine Greek, the Slavic, the Gothic, the Arminian translation. And so those translations is based on that. And the Holy Spirit says he's the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth, and he will abide with you forever. And the Bible says now that we can look at the perfect law of liberty. And Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And so today the universal language is English language, and the universal Bible is the King James Bible. It has gone out to 5 billion copies. It's been attacked by these proud people that are controlled by Satan for 100 years, and it keeps right on going. Because what the Bible says, the word of God liveth and abideth forever. So that's very important. The word of God liveth and abideth forever. We have a few other verses in Proverbs 20 and 23. Did we read that about divers weights?
I have not read that yet. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 23. And this is also echoed in verse 10 earlier. But again, it says, diverse weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good.
Okay, so these versions, they disagree with each other, and you can read that in many of these books that are being put out that we recommend. And then the Bible says in 2 Peter 2:3, he says that many will come making merchandise of you. Well, every one of these, they change the words because so that the people can get the copyright, because they have to change the words to get the copyright. That's making merchandise. That's why they keep producing it, making money by changing the words of God. But God's words don't change. And we have it in the King James Bible. And you need to stand for it. And you need to put your faith and trust in Thy Word do I trust.
You've
not
been
in
listening
some preacher.
To Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.